welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
So look, I got to tell you, I, for basically from last Tuesday night to Monday this week, like midday, I was pretty under the weather. So like I had like a sinus cold thing Tuesday night that lasted for like 2 days, right? Mm-hmm. Friday, as I got past that, I get a stomach bug that my wife had earlier in the week. And that laid me on my ass. Like I was literally in bed for like 17 hours Friday and Saturday. Like that's how sick I was. And then I had like no energy up until like midday Monday, even once I got past all of that stuff. Sickest I've been in a really long time, just a really fucking abysmal, miserable weekend. And yet somehow I think I had a better week last week than literally every Republican in the House of Representatives.
I believe you did. look, it couldn't get any worse. And like if they all caught something and then started vomiting simultaneously on the floor on C-SPAN in HD, I think then it could possibly get close enough to what what some people would say is real bad. Yeah, these guys have continued to just step on their dicks collectively for the last – we are now entering week three of this. Here's how bad it is. We didn't do a show last week because the previous week we did it like pretty late in the week, right? So we couldn't do a show on like Friday and then come back on Tuesday. It was not enough time. So we opted not to do a show. In that time, I had not changed the docket, the document that we put the stories in, right? And so I went in today to like update it so we could do the show today and put on our notes and everything. And Republican Speaker Chaos was already a topic. And I was like, well, I'm not gonna change that. Like, still going, right? I just added continues. Just for my own, just for my own thing. But like, No, we're still here. Like, nothing has changed. These idiots are still doing this.
So when last we left you, right? When last we left you guys, it was going to be at that point, was Scalise out and like Jordan was like the presumptive guy, or was it still like between?
Scalise was like,
okay. Yeah, so Jordan was about – like Jordan was the guy. Like Jordan was going to be the dude that was going to get it for sure, for real this time. It's going to fucking happen. And so he was nominated. He had the majority of votes in caucus. And so they brought it to the floor. And on the first floor vote, I think he had 200 votes. He needs 217, which means that I think 20 Republicans did not vote for him, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, Hakeem Jeffries had 212. You know, still like just banging it out every vote, consistent. Hakeem Jeffries, the leading vote getter, and so Jordan was defeated. Now, because the inmates, and by inmates, I of course mean the MAGA caucus, are running the asylum. It wasn't like one and done for Jim Jordan, like it was with Steve Scalise. Like, Steve Scalise lost one vote, went back, realized that the freedom loonies would never vote for him, and was like, I'm out. No, I'm never gonna make this happen. Yeah. Jim Jordan was like, no. We're gonna close ranks. We're gonna have some meetings. We're gonna do this again. And then they had a second vote. And he had fewer support. I think he had 198 second vote. Fewer people voted for him that time. So after that, you think, all right, Jim Jordan's done. No. Like Jim Jordan is the guy. Like, we are gonna find a way to get this over the line. Meanwhile, you have the fucking moderates out here, but like, there's no way in hell we're fucking voting for this guy. And in fact, it was so funny because there were people apparently that were telling Jordan behind closed doors that they would vote for him. And then when they got out to the floor to actually vote, they voted against him, which is very funny to me.
Yeah, they apparently did only to embarrass Jordan because they hated him so much that they're like, no, we'll vote for you. Come on to the floor. It's going to be awesome. And then they're like, yeah, go fuck yourself. Absolutely not. Look, that's a level of petty. I'm not a Republican. I don't support the Republican Party, but that's a level of petty I have to respect. Like, hats off to you, gentlemen, who did that. That's hilarious. That's definitely something I would do. I support more of that.
So apparently, like, after this, Kevin McCarthy, like, he gave a speech on the floor to try to rally support for Jordan. And he talked about, he said in his speech, because a lot had been made about it, the fact that Jordan in 16 years of being in Congress had not advanced, you know, a bill that he brought had been, you know, passed and signed into law. And Kevin McCarthy went out of his way to say that Jim Jordan is an effective legislator and literally paused because he's an idiot, which then led Democrats cue the laugh track from one side of the room.
Right.
Which was very funny. So they had a third vote.
I'm sure there were some Republicans, by the way, also joining in on that laugh
track. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah. So finally, they had a third vote. He lost even more support.
Correct.
And then after that, he was like, okay, now I'm done. Yeah. and now I'm pulling out.
Now, okay. So there's another aspect to this that I think is important. All of that being true and being objectively hilarious. Donald Trump was pushing for Jim Jordan this whole time.
Yes.
Right? Like, so it's not just that Jim Jordan sucks, and he does. It's not just that Jim Jordan kept losing votes, and he did. But he also had the backing of the MAGA God King himself and still could not get over the hump. What that tells me is the moderates in the Republican Party, you can put that in quotes, have maybe for a moment, and I say for a moment because I'm going to prove how that's not true in a second, but they have more power than they realize. And they, mm-hmm. they flexed it, right? They were like, oh, the former president said he wants Jim Jordan. Well, we don't. Fuck that guy. And just didn't do it, right? There was a really great article that came out this week. I forget what outlet it was, but they were talking about like what was happening sort of behind the scenes with Jordan, which is there was an intimidation campaign too, right? Wild strong arming and shit, like letters.
Texting, threatening the wives of sitting Republican congressmen that they then went on, you know, the cable shows and Sunday shows to talk about how they were literally being threatened inside the party.
Intra-party, right.
Yeah.
And so that's very weird in a lot of ways. It's not necessarily surprising considering who mm-hmm. these people are, but it's very weird that they have now taken that sort of brutality and threatening, like literally the threat of violence, because whether implicit or explicit, like that is what that threat is, right? Oh, we're gonna come after you and do what? Vote me out? Like, all right, you fucking say that shit on CNN. You don't need to send my wife a text about that. That's an implied threat of violence, in my opinion.
It's funny too because I don't know. It's probably happening across both spectrums of the Republican Party, but like a lot of folks are still going on to these shows, and of course they're being asked about like this chaos, the Republicans, and a few of them are still trying, even after 3 weeks, are still trying to put that line out there. How eight Republicans and 216 Democrats have like, you know, ruined everything. And to their credit, cable news hosts on Sirius networks and Fox News have not allowed that line of explanation to take hold. Like as soon as they hear it, everyone is pushing back on it because they're like, you don't need Democrat. You could have kept Kevin McCarthy in without a single Democrat. You don't need a single Democrat to get a Republican Speaker of the House elected. This is a Republican problem. Like they're not taking that bait of like both sides are to blame for this chaos and blah, blah, blah. They're like, no, the Democrats have nothing to do with this. Like this is entire. And the Democrats have done a great job messaging that. Like Hakeem Jeffries has constantly been out there just driving that message home over and over and over again about how like, look, like this is their fucking circus. Like we're not messing with this. I'm here if they want to actually, you know, work on government. We just need five of you guys to vote for me. And with all these Democrats that are voting for me every time, and we can get the House's business moving, but we're not going to save you from yourselves. Like, sorry, fucked up.
Right. And look, let's get real. Like that line of argument from Republicans who are trying to push this desperately to not admit what this is, which is a Republican Party problem. Like that logic on its face doesn't make any sense, right? Like mm-hmm. anybody paying attention for more than 5 seconds goes, well, you guys are in the majority. So what the fuck are you talking about? What the minority is doing in this particular case. But let's take them. Let's say that it did make sense. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. But let's say that it did, right? It's the Democrats' fault. So what you're saying is you think that we would believe that you know, the American public would be led to believe that if given an opportunity, that the Republican Party could, in a block, vote to kick Hakeem Jeffries, or let's not even say Hakeem Jeffries, Nancy Pelosi, out of the speakership because she's in the majority party. There's chaos within her party. She's up for a, you know, you know, basically a vote to boot her out, you know, sort of a no confidence vote. That the Republican Party wouldn't join in on that vote? 100% they would.
Yeah.
And you know what? It'd be stupid if they didn't. Like, if it's a person you hate that much, I'd be like, get rid of Nancy Pelosi. Are you kidding? Hell yeah. If I'm a Republican, of course. So the logic here is, oh, well, it's their fault. But you would do the exact same thing if given the opportunity. And guess what? It wouldn't be your fault either. It'd be the Democrats' fault for being in such disarray. That's the problem.
It's almost as if having a motion to vacate being able to be triggered by one member of the House was probably a really bad idea in retrospect.
Yeah.
Gotta say.
Maybe trying to be so fucking craven for power and willing to load a gun and hand it to the biggest lunatics in your party and go, don't shoot me. I'm going to turn around, but don't shoot me in the back. Like, of course I'm going to shoot you in the back, dude. Like, don't vote to, you know, a motion to vacate, but I'm going to also work with Democrats to get things done. Like, how did you think this was going to go? Like, it wasn't a matter of if, it was just a matter of when. Like, it was always destined for this to happen. I remember when this came out initially, and they were like, well, this is what we have in, you know, these new rules. And both of us were like, oh, Kevin McCarthy's not going to last a year.
sure enough, he didn't.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, what did you think was going to happen? Get the fuck out of here. This is insane. So, or he lasted just over a year, right? Like, not long. He certainly ain't last his whole fucking term. Like, absolutely not. Like, get the fuck out of
no,
here.
No, he did not even last a year, period.
Has it not even
been like, no, January was when he came in.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Mm. Yeah, and he lasted to the end of September, so 9 months. He didn't even last a pregnancy, Jay. Like, that's how short of a time Kevin McCarthy lasted.
I mean, Kevin McCarthy's tenure is one of the rare moments in Republican politics, or let me rephrase that, in conservative politics, of a thing lasting less time than the Confederacy. I mean, it's shocking news.
But yeah.
It is one of the times
true.
The Confederacy did, in fact, last longer. So it is just it's humorous to me, right? Like, that they try to push this. Like, you don't believe this. And if the roles were reversed, you'd have done the exact same thing Democrats would do. And by the way, you'd be politically stupid if you didn't, right? Like, so yeah, of course the Democrats are going to do it. They're taking your fuck up, and they're handing you enough rope to hang yourself. And you did. So yeah,
if for any other reason, just to hand the opposition party a massive L that you didn't actually have to like do anything to hand them, like the analogy you gave was handing them a loaded gun. They gave 220 loaded guns out. They gave a bunch to Democrats and they gave them to the crazy Republicans, and they're just like, hey, shoot us. And we're like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, no problem. Right.
Yeah,
we got
next
you.
Question. What the fuck are you asking?
Yeah.
So, so then there's the, again, the Republican speaker chaos continues. So then they tried to float this idea of taking Patrick McHenry, who is the pro tem, and elevating. They were going to like, hey, we're going to give this guy more power, right? He's the pro tem. He's the, you know, basically he's the guy who is like, standing in for the speaker. Basically, all he can do is gavel in. Let's have a vote on who's the speaker going to be and gavel him out. Like, that's the extent of his powers, right? And that's all he was doing. And so Republicans are like, why don't we do what we always do and not address the problem and try to kick the can down the road by elevating this guy to be basically, the Speaker of the House without having
– ironically, and no one mentioned this. I'm surprised no one mentioned this. Ironically, they're trying to do – what Trump basically did during the last 2 years of his presidency, where when he had a cabinet position open up, instead of like getting a new person, like a hearing in the Senate, like he would just appoint them as an interim person and then just kind of just let him sit like chill because
he knew he couldn't get him through Congress.
Right. But also made it easier to replace them if he didn't like what they were doing.
Yeah. I mean, look, for him, considering he just continuously hires the worst people he can think of, probably not a bad idea. Like, you know what? This guy sucks. Like, yeah, you picked him. You keep picking them. Like, it says more about you than it does about them, though they also suck. So they tried to do that. They were like, all right, Patrick, I'm gonna go ahead and push this idea. Patrick McHenry was like, if you do this, I'll fucking quit. And you're like, okay, so not this idea then? Yes. This is what they do when it comes to budgets and everything else. They don't want to actually fix and address the core problems because that takes a level of intellect. It takes a level of like nuance and work and like getting off your ass-ness, if you will. And like these guys are just like, I don't know. It's fucking temporary shit, man. Let's just temporary this shit all the way down the road. By the way, speaking of temporary, the clock is ticking. November 17th.
Well, that's the thing is –
is government shutdown if they don't get a fucking budget
done. Well, and that's what I was going to say, is that we're now they are, like, running into this, like, hard – like, I don't think anyone expected it to get this far.
No.
Where you said we're entering the third week. No, we've had 3 full weeks. We are now entering the fourth week of No Speaker. And you're right. Like that government shutdown is kind of like that hard fucking line because not only do they have to get a speaker in there, but then they have to actually – get the bill fucking worked out and voted through. Yep. And it has to be something that the Senate is also going to vote for. And so now they're playing the super high stakes game of chicken where I feel you're going to have these like normie candidates and then MAGA candidates that are lined up. And eventually one side is going to blink. And it's probably going to be the moderates that blink because of course the fucking MAGA idiots are completely fine letting the fucking country burn to have their way. Which is unfortunate because it means we're probably going to end up with someone fucking dumb in the role.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless the moderates do the fuck you gambit and somehow make a deal with the Democrats to get someone else in there.
Yeah, I think they should. I think that's the move. And I think ultimately that's what's going to end up happening. I think they're going to find a moderate. And we're going to talk about the newest moderate. But I think they're going to have to find a moderate. I think they're going to have to say that moderate is going to have to be a person who says, you know what? I don't give a fuck what's happening outside of these walls. And we'll talk about why I'm saying that in a moment. And they are going to have to do some sort of power broker situation with the Democrats where it's like, all right, cool. We'll join up with you guys. Give us enough votes to get fucking whatever this jackass we want to get in, who's reasonable. Get that person in. We'll allow you guys to bring bills to the floor. Like, it's going to have to be that. And guess what? If that happens, Democrats have not only done something that is unprecedented or largely unprecedented, it has made Republicans look like utter fools when it comes to governing, which, again, it should not be a surprise to anyone who pays attention. So the reason why I mentioned that person would have to be someone who doesn't give a shit about what happens outside of those walls is we had the Tom Emmer dilemma. that's how I'm saying it. Tom Emmer is a person you've probably never heard of, but he is the majority whip, incidentally. And Tom Emmer beat out 8 other GOP candidates for possible Speaker of the House nomination. He beat out Austin Scott of Georgia, Jack Bergman of Michigan, Byron Donalds of Florida. Have you watched the last season of Jack Ryan, by the way?
I have not.
Okay. Byron Donalds 100% reminds me of the villain of that season. 100%. I don't trust that guy. Don't let that guy sign any letter of immunity ever. Kevin Hearn of Oklahoma, Mike Johnson of Louisiana, Gary Palmer of Alabama, Pete Sessions of Texas, right? So he beat out all those guys. And so basically, like, he is a guy who voted to certify the election. He's like kind of a, I don't want to say reasonable guy, but
for what passes. Yeah. What passes in this day and age.
Right. And so he won the nomination behind closed doors. Like I said, he beat out the other eight candidates. And so he was like, all right, let's fucking rock and roll, baby. Let's get the, let's go to the floor and let's do it. Donald Trump came out, was like, I don't like Tom Emmer. That guy's not good to me. He's not a real Republican. He's not MAGA. Everybody knows that most of the Republican Party is MAGA. Fuck Tom Emmer. Tom Emmer immediately goes, I'm out. And drops out because there's no way he can win.
It is literally, everyone's very familiar with the Simpsons gif where Grandpa Simpson like walks into the burlesque house and sees Bart manning the door. So he like takes his hat off and then sees Bart and then immediately turns around and grabs his hat off to the door. Like that's, that was the Tom Emmer speaker candidacy.
Emmer lost 26. He quickly ran into trouble with 26 GOP lawmakers who were opposed to his nomination. So, yep. So this is the problem. You cannot get a moderate in there because a moderate has one thing and one thing only that matters to Trump. They voted to certify the election. If they voted to certify the election, Trump doesn't like them. Trump will find out that they're the person, of course, right? It's public knowledge. He will get on Truth Social or whatever the fuck and say, I don't like this person. You will lose 25 or so MAGA Republicans, they defect, it's over, right? You can't get the nut bars in there like Jim Jordan because the moderates will go, hey, that guy's a nutcase. I'm not voting for that person. Get the fuck out of here. And the reason why I'm saying him is because you're never getting a woman because it's a Republican Party. Get real. I mean, maybe Elise Stefanik, I guess, but she's a nutcase. And so the moderates are not going to vote for her. Yeah, look, again, you're going to have to get the moderates who don't give a fuck, some strong moderate who's going to be like, I'll take the slings and arrows, put me in there, and let's do a share power thing with Hakeem Jeffries and get moving before the 17th. Mm-hmm. And look, it's October 24th as we're recording this. You kind of need to get it done this week. You kind of need to get
it. You do. Otherwise, you're going to really because again, the you're going to run into the same challenge with the government shutdown as you did 4 weeks ago with the government shutdown. Because again, you have moderates. You have MAGA people that are just not going to want to budge on stuff that's in there. And that's the thing that drives me nuts, man. Is that like the people like these fucking idiots on the far right fringe of the party, like. And again, they don't live in reality, so like it's easy for them to deny reality. But like, the Senate is Democratic, the White House is Democratic. Like, I'm sorry, you're not going to bend 2/3 of the process to your whims with your voting bloc. Like, it's just not going to happen.
I mean, you say that, but I don't believe in reality, so why don't I just try it anyway? Like, that's the MAGA, like. Maybe they'll trickle Joe Biden. He won't realize. He's like, you know what? Abortion? Yeah, you're right. Fucking let's ban it nationwide. Like, I forgot where I am, right? Like, that's their thought process. So, yeah, I mean, the problem is to be MAGA is to lack all nuance, right? Like, right. And it's also to, like, not really understand how government works. It's to misunderstand why you're there in the first place. All of that, right? It is largely ego-driven, right? You're there to just fuck shit up and hopefully make a name for yourself so you can go on Fox News or OAN or whatever lobbying company. You're not there to do the people's business. You're there to do your own business. I think you got to get this done this week, right? Mm-hmm. So you have a good 2 weeks to kind of work this shit out and make sure that you can build a budget that people like. Hopefully the Senate has been working tirelessly to like at least let them know like, okay, once shit gets going, like we can get this shit done fast.
Oh, they had a bill. I mean, the Senate had a bill passed. Like they basically had the bill passed that was arranged back in May when we did the debt ceiling thing. When McCarthy and the House Republicans negotiate with the White House and are like, all right, cool. We want to raise the debt ceiling, but also we don't want to do this shit again in 4 months. So here's the deal that we can agree to fund the government. And once we get to September, everyone will be on board and it'll be hunky dory. Right. Like that's the deal that they have, like, literally waiting. Like, all the House has to do is be like, yep, this deal's great. Let's go get it to the White House. Good to go. But that's not going to happen because it includes things like funding for Ukraine and, things like funding other stuff, that education and all sorts of other programs that, you know, the hard right does not want to see in funding in the government. So,
yep. And so, look, I feel like you're going to have to use the Democrats to broker a deal to get you a speaker. And then you're going to have to use those same Democrats to broker a deal to get this shit passed. What you're going to want to do if you're the Republican Party is you're really going to want to make sure you remove, once you have a speaker, you're going to want to remove that whole motion to vacate shit. Because the second you do that and you work with the Democrats to keep the government open, they're going to turn around and they're going to shoot you in the back too, whoever it is. And you're going to be back in the same shit all over again. The first thing you need to do is like, cool, I'm the new speaker. We're getting rid of this motion to vacate shit. This is done, right? It was a fun thing while it lasted. Haha, Kevin McCarthy, what an experiment. Get rid of it. Because if you don't, you will be back in the same situation trying to choose a speaker all over again. And every time you fuck this up, you're going to have less and less people who want the job.
Yeah. Right? And here's the dumb thing, too, is that, like, so the reason ostensibly that moderates haven't moved to do a common sense deal at this point is, I have to feel like, partially is because they're afraid of getting primaried. So, like, these are guys that are in, you know, Biden districts that won, you know, in 2020. Or 2022, and if they did this, then, you know, someone is going to come in from the right and take their and eat their lunch and take their shit from them. Okay. Here's the problem, though, is that if that were to happen, that's a suicide pact, because if you're in a Biden district and you get some MAGA idiot that somehow wins the Republican nomination, guess what? They're not winning in a general election against a regular ass Democrat. Like, that's not going to fucking happen. It's a great way to lose the House. So moderates do have an argument that they can make to be like, look, you might want to punish me for doing this, but if you do, all you're going to do is just get a Democrat in here, because someone to the right of me is not going to be able to win this seat in November.
I largely agree with you. The problem is, we are now in a situation where the Republican Party looks so dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think it matters if you're a moderate or not. Like,
no, probably not.
In these Biden districts, I think even if you could hold off and, like, knock down some nutcase MAGA person who's attacking you from the right, as a Republican in a Biden district, I think a Democrat's going to come in and kick the shit out of you anyway, because it's going to be like, look at these assholes. You want to deal with this? And people are like, yeah, you're right.
No, right.
I don't. So, like, I don't know what the right answer is, but I think it's because you guys already fucked up so bad. I think you're doubly fucked. It's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What you can hope is, just by sheer luck, you could fend off a Democrat. But I think when you're talking about these Biden districts, I think people are in a world of trouble. And look, I get it. There's been a lot of talk of, like, how Biden is handling the Gaza Strip issue, and, like, you know, people obviously disagree that he should be, you know, much more, like, even, you could say, even handed, or even pro helping the Palestinians, right? I would make that argument, right? But people are like, oh, this is what's going to lose him an election. The election is a year out. No, it's not.
Yeah. Like, a, it's a year out. B, no one gives a fuck about foreign policy when we get to November. Like, that's number two.
They never care about it. If they cared about foreign policy, Donald Trump would have never won. They would have never won, dude. Like, no, people don't give a fuck about foreign policy. The thing they care about are kitchen table issues, right? That's not to say that what's going on in the Gaza Strip is not important. It's not to say that I agree with Joe Biden's handling of it as of right now. I don't. But is that going to be the make or break issue? No. Like,
no.
Things like, hey, man, the government is in disarray. Hey, man, like, gas prices are high, even though it doesn't make any sense. Those are the things people think about. They're not thinking about what the fuck is going on to people that don't live here. Right? Are there Jewish folks who give a fuck about that? Absolutely. Right? Do they vote based on that? Absolutely. Are there Muslim folks who give a fuck about that? Absolutely. You like, will they vote one way or the other? Absolutely. Based on that, 100%. The vast majority of Americans, sad to say, don't give a fuck. Should they care? Yeah, they should care. Do they care? No, they don't. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Like, I hate to say that, but like, they don't give a fuck about foreign policy, dude. They don't. People still say Donald Trump didn't engage in any wars during his 4 years. They say that, like on TV. I
know. Okay. Like, cool. You know, except for the one that was still happening while he was there and, yeah. You know, still was happening when he left. So.
No, I mean, Kurds. What the fuck are you talking about? Who are the Kurds? Get out of here. Like, like, they don't even remember this shit. They don't remember it. Donald Trump always supports his allies. Donald Trump? Who?
Like, yeah, more on that. More on that shortly.
Yeah, he don't give a fuck. He don't give a fuck about none of this shit. So, yeah, foreign policy, I hate to say it, is not the the go-getter issue for most Americans. It just isn't.
No, unless the U.S. is involved in a hot war as an active combatant, like that's when it matters. Otherwise, it doesn't. It's not going to be in the top 10 issues that people consider when they go to the polls. Most people.
Right. And look, I'll say it. Sometimes even when we're in a hot war, we don't give a fuck after a while.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even give a fuck after a while. You know how I know? George W. Bush was reelected. Sometimes we're just like, it's fine.
Yeah, that was before we knew that there weren't actually weapons of mass destruction, though.
Like, stick with the horse you went in. Yeah, stick with the rider you went in with. Like,
how many trillions have we spent? Only like one so far. Yeah, let him keep going. He might find him eventually.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's not like it's going to cost $2 trillion. That'd be crazy. No, we don't really give a fuck. Like, that's a sadness of America's profound ignorance on a lot of topics. But yeah, we don't give a fuck. Speaking of that, boy, did I engage stupidly. On social media with people talking about what's happening in Gaza Strip. I was like, people were like, oh, yeah, no, Hamas is not a terrorist organization. I was like, all right, cool, man. All right, like, okay, what are we having a conversation about? One woman said, well, you know the Palestinians cheered during 9/11, so they all agree with Hamas. I was like, all Palestinians? I was like, one, even if I believe that's true, I don't. You're just an idiot on Instagram. But I was like,
did they do it from a rooftop in New Jersey?
Yeah, exactly. Like the same bullshit story. I was like, the fact that you even said that tells me you're not capable of complex thoughts. And I just blocked them. Like, I'm not having a conversation with you. You're a fucking idiot. So yeah.
I didn't even check the comments on the YouTube video from two weeks ago. I'm sure
No. This was on Instagram. This was just this is just me stupidly going on Instagram and commenting on something that I thought me saying what I said was completely reasonable. Not in the eyes of idiots. I was like, all right, cool. Bye. You got it. All right, let's take a quick break. After that speaker chaos, it ain't never going to get fixed. That's right. It ain't never going to get fixed. We'll be back. We're going to talk about the trials of Donald Trump. It's still going. All right. Donald Trump, it just keeps getting better, man. It just keeps getting better.
It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome at this point. So, Jay, do you know that we're almost at 25% of the defendants in the Georgia trial have now pleaded guilty?
That's awesome. So Donald Trump's Georgia trial is going pretty badly for him, as I wrote here. We have had, as of today, 4 flips in just this case. Mm-hmm. We have now, I don't know if you saw the breaking news.
I did. Yes.
Your boy, Mark Meadows, has officially gotten immunity, so that's another. That's a flip-adelphia for January 6th trial. Not good. But let's talk about Georgia first. Since we last saw you guys, our favorite guy, old Kenny Cheesebro. That is
not how you pronounce his name. I also do not care, and will continue to call him Cheese Bro for now until the end of time.
Yeah, agree to disagree. His mama named him Cheese Bro. I'm going to call him Cheese Bro. Mr. Cheese Bro entered a plea deal. Now, it is important to understand what his role in all of this is, right? Kevin Chesbro, his big issue is that he was, in fact, the architect, the designer, if you will.
The Seth Rollins of the election scheme? You don't understand that reference, but
I
a
do,
lot
I
of our
listeners. No, no, I do. I sadly do understand that. I can't wait for him to hit Donald Trump in the back with a chair. Like that's
that would be great. I mean, he metaphorically is right now. So
he's pretty much there. So
I wonder if Kenneth Chesbro has a bleach streak in his hair, like Seth Rollins used to.
I mean, I guess he would if he went to jail. Like that would be. I think he joined a gang. But Chesbro did plead guilty in criminal racketeering indictment. So again, he was the architect of the fake electors scheme, right? He's the guy who was like, here's what you do. You hire a bunch of rubes and tell them they're in on it and that they're a part of the big plan, and then you hope they don't sell you down the river later. Spoiler alert, they absolutely are going to. So now his argument has been, hey, I'm just giving some friendly advice, baby. I'm just a lawyer. I'm just a country lawyer. I'm just giving friendly advice. But the problem is there's documents where he is seen to be like, okay, here's how this will affect the election. Here's what you need to do. Like, so he's not just giving lawyerly, like, I'm writing up this idea advice. He's also telling you, like, here's the election advice behind that, which puts him in a very precarious situation. And him knowing that, he was like, I immediately throw myself on the mercy of the court. Please don't throw me in prison forever.
Well, and it's funny because whereas the other two people we're going to talk about pled, I think, exclusively to misdemeanors in this case, Chesbro pleaded guilty to a felony charge, to criminal racketeering.
Yeah. This is a big deal. Again, he's the guy who came up with it, so that's good. That's a good place to start. You're going to see a lot of these other people get indicted, but you're going to see a lot of these other people flipping who are, in fact, the fake electors, right? So they'll be able to roll up to Chesbro, and Chesbro is going to be like, yeah, I did, but also these assholes above me asked me to do it. He gets 5 years probation. He did have a single felony charge of conspiracy as well. So this is not
and he
good.
And he had to pay a $5,000 restitution also.
Yeah, I'm sure it really broke his pockets as a lawyer. But that's not the point. The point is to not destroy the guy because you want him to rat on his bosses, right? And look, he's going to, because he has to now in future cases, he has to testify truthfully about what he's asked. So you can take a guess as to which cases that will be. so, yay.
Besides Trump, obviously, I would think that the person most concerned about his testimony is probably going to be John Eastman.
Absolutely.
One would imagine. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this is pretty great.
Yeah, look, I think when Eastman goes down, and I think there's part of me that thinks Eastman is not going to cop a plea deal, because I feel like he's like a true believer. I think he is a bit of a true believer. However, I've also seen a picture of him. Looks like a bit of a punk, and that guy's not built for jail. So
I mean, none of them are really truly built for prison, I don't think so.
But I like – listening to things that Eastman has said, I'm like, oh, you really believe this shit? Like, you really willing to go down with the ship, dude? Like, all right. I wouldn't recommend it. I really would not recommend it. Kenny is a smart man. He was like, nah, absolutely not. 5-year probation, not going to jail for you motherfuckers. Like, get out of here. By the way, I really think that while they should do probation, I think they should have taken these people's law licenses. Like, you're done.
Oh, 100%. Well, that might be a separate proceeding, honestly. Like that, just because that's happening doesn't, or that didn't happen here, doesn't mean that that won't happen. I mean, Cindy Powell, I think, already got disbarred almost everywhere in there, or at least everywhere where she argued this dumb shit in the country.
Speaking of her, Cindy Powell, aka Lady Kraken, member of Trump's legal team in 2020, will cooperate with prosecutors seeking to convict the former president in election interference case in Georgia. Look, we all remember Sidney K. Powell. She came up with some of the dumbest, wildest conspiracies. The Hugo Chavez ghost is in the machine and all this other shit. There's bamboo. They found bamboo next to the machines because China, which is like super racist, by the way. it's like a real conspiracy theory. I was like, do Chinese people just sprinkle bamboo and then just get the fuck out of there? Like, what are you guys saying out loud? And people like MAGA is like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Of course, totally. You find bamboo anytime Chinese people are around. Like, all right, cool. So she's also pleading guilty. Hers is for, I believe, racketeering. So that's not good. The charges against Ms. Powell largely led to her role in helping carry out the breach of voting equipment in a rural Georgia county in 2021. As Trump allies fruitlessly sought evidence of ballot fraud, she was also fined $6,000 and agreed to pay $2,700 in restitution to the state of Georgia, as well as turn over documents related to the case and write an apology letter to the state's citizens. She, by the way, came out like today, excuse me, and was like, they took advantage of me. I still think it was rigged. I'm like, you're playing with fire, yo. Like, just shut up. You're playing with fire. That, like, you can't be that stupid. You just can't be that stupid. But then again, I remember, like,
she actually is that stupid.
She's that stupid. Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
She is the second to plead guilty outside of Chesbro. Oh, also in Scott Hall, the Georgia bail bondsman. So,
not that Scott Hall.
Yes. Not Reza Ramon. Sadly. Rest in peace. Sidney Powell, a person who I 100% knew was going to flipped. Shocking news. But she is also she also has to, quote, truthfully testify in any future cases as well. So good luck. Looks like Fonnie Willis is 4 for 4, man. Like, she's doing
clean up the streets.
As a line in, I just watched the end of Jack Ryan yesterday, but there's a line in that series at the end where they're like, there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, like, not so good guys like me. What are you going to do? You're going to arrest them all? Like, is that what you're going to do? And it says this to the head of the CIA. And it was like, yeah. Like,
that's
what
I'm going to do. That's
one
the plan.
By one. Like, one by one. Yeah, that's the plan. What the fuck? Like, yeah, you're all going to jail. Get the fuck out of here. This is good to see, but 4 for 4 is pretty good. Fonnie Willis, racking them up. But look, never forget that they were like, oh, her case is such bullshit. She's got nothing. Well, she must have something, because these guys are running fucking scared. So, this is a good thing. Who do you think's next?
Jenna Ellis, I believe, is the next
right.
one.
That's right, Brad. Yeah, we're correct.
This one was particularly schadenfreude for me, because Jen Ellis was one of the most vocal, like, trigger the libs Trump people regarding this process as they tried to make it play out in late 2020, early 2021. You might remember her often riding shotgun with Rudy Giuliani in these court cases, trying to argue the fact that this is somehow totally legal and cool, what they were trying to do with the fake collector scheme.
Yeah. Get fucked. Like, absolutely not. Look, she was all smiles in that that indictment mugshot. And then she's on there today. I have a lot of regrets. What'd you cry for? I thought you were badass. I thought, you know, you were down for triggering the libs. Yeah, what happened? Yeah. This is the problem. You gotta shut the fuck up. Because again, we are in a situation now that all of that bluster and bullshit on social media doesn't mean anything. When they start throwing motherfuckers in jail, or the true threat of throwing people in jail, people change the tune real fast.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you got, like, I said this a couple weeks ago. All of that, like, Donald Trump has never had to deal with anything. Yeah, he's never had to face, like, actual judges in actual trials that he can't just bully his way through. And you are seeing real-life consequences to fucking around, and now these people are finding out, right? Like, mm-hmm. We've all seen the video of the guy on the XY axis. This is the find out portion of that video. You're finding out. So, look, if I don't know who the person is who would make this request, but if they are listening, and I'm sure that they are, you guys need to go after removing these people from the bar. Like, you really do. Like, these are the type of lawyers who absolutely should not have access to practice law anymore. That would really hurt them. $5,000 mm-hmm. doesn't hurt them. Taking away their livelihood completely, that would hurt them. They tried to circumvent democracy very much on purpose. It was not a mistake. They're very much aware. Take their fucking livelihood from them. Go, I don't know, you go be a consultant somewhere else, but you ain't going to go practice law. Get the fuck out of here. So, I don't know who you plead to for that, but let me know an email address. I'm happy to write a letter. So on behalf of everyone else, I like watching these MAGA idiots cry. It's great. It's my favorite thing. I can't wait to see Rudy Giuliani and hopefully John Eastman and all these other assholes cry too. More the merrier.
I love it. But funnily enough, more people are crying from this Jenna Ellis plea deal, and it's not just Jenna Ellis. So she famously had come out a couple months ago after the arrest. Leading up to the trial, to bemoan the fact that Donald Trump, who promised to take care of these people, were not taking care of these people. And as a result, she could not afford to pay her legal defenses to help fight this in the trial. So, of course, she did what every self-respecting American does and turned to the true source of the way to get money in this country, and that's to set up like a GoFundMe. But I guess she did it on like some like right wing version of GoFundMe. Apparently, there's a website called GiveSendGo that she turned to, and she raised like $216,000, according to this article.
Good for her. I personally find it hilarious because the MAGA idiots who gave her money never do that. They were like, "Oh, we believe in you, Jenna. You're awesome. I guess you triggered the libs. Here's $216,000. And then she turned right around and was like, I plead guilty. Sorry. Thanks for the money. I'm going to plead out. And so MAGA people are like, whoa, 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 whoa. We just gave you $216,000. Why'd you give up so fast? And she's like, new phone, who dis? Like, look, you got to get that grift in right before you get out the door. She knew she was going to plead guilty. Get the fuck out of here. She didn't have to raise that money.
Yeah, they're big mad at her. They're big mad. She should give the money back. I'm like, you guys are idiots.
Yeah. It's not how reality works, guys. Sorry. She's like,
so it's like the food chain of grifting. Like, she got grifted by Donald Trump. All these other people got grifted by her. I'm sure they're grifting other people as well. Like, it's the cycle of grift.
Yeah, it's a cycle of grift. It ruins us all. That's great. That's, yeah. So poor Jenna Ellis. It couldn't happen to a better person.
Donald Trump stands on the edge of a cliff holding like a fucking bag of money over his head like it's the Lion King or some shit.
Oh, my God. I don't like any of them. All right. Let's take a you know what? Before we take a quick break, let's talk about Mark Meadows, actually. Mark Meadows is now been granted immunity. And he has immediately taken that opportunity to flip on his boss and was like,
of course.
I think I got a couple things left I didn't mention. Did I mention I told him that he lost the 2020 election? Yeah, I forgot to say that.
I'd like to go on record. This isn't quite a dude I told you because I didn't say it vociferously, but I'm not surprised to see this happened because I thought that Meadows was always going to be the guy that Trump world tried to throw under the bus to get Donald Trump off. I thought for sure that he was going to be the fall guy. So the fact that he's the first to the fucking plea bargain line does not surprise me in the least. And it in fact makes me believe that I was 100% correct in that thought.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't see how anyone thought that Meadows wasn't going to be the fall guy. And you know who also believes that? Mark Meadows. I don't think so. Like, me? No, motherfucker. You.
I don't think you're giving us enough credit. I'd like to think that Mark Meadows is a regular listener of the Look Forward, and he's a premium member, too, to hear us talking about him later after the first hour.
He's like, am I up next? He was like, nah, okay. Jay and Brad are definitely right. I'm going to squeal. No, this is the move, right? This is the move. Like, right. If you're waiting to play hot potato with Donald Trump to see which one of you is going to be holding, you know, said potato at the end, you're playing the wrong game, dude. Because even after that music ends, he's going to still hand it to you, right? Like,
right.
He's going to fuck someone over. Like, he's been kind of edging to fuck over Eric Trump in his New York trial. Like, he doesn't want to go to prison. It is a major fear of his. He will do anything to make sure that doesn't happen. And so Mark Meadows, you're standing next to him, dude. You better sell him out. Like, all of these, like, beat MAGA people, I wouldn't sell Donald Trump. Then you're a fool. Because he would sell you out. Like, he will sell you out in a heartbeat. If he thinks that he can sell out his kids, certainly other politicians, he's going to do it. The question is, at the end of the day, does Donald Trump try to cop a plea deal himself in order to give up other people that we're not aware of? Right? Like, that will be interesting. My guess is
I think it depends, because I have to imagine. Well, I feel like they're going to want to set an example, right? And so, like, any plea deal that they would make with him, I would think has to involve some level of jail. And I don't think he wants to go to jail. And I think as long as the plea deal would involve jail time, there's no way he would take it. Now, if they were to offer him something that's just probation, like, or if they gave him, like, a suspended sentence in order to plead guilty, I wonder if he would take that or not. I don't know. But I also think there's part of his dumb brain
never surrender
can't admit. Yeah. Like can't admit that he lost, that he was wrong, that he did crimes, you know, whatever. He's impossible to fucking figure out because he's just an idiot.
I got to tell you, if I was devising a plea deal for Donald Trump, I'd be like, listen, I'm gonna give you the opportunity to let's say year in prison, right? Feels good for everybody. We get to see you get your fucking big head pushed in that fucking squad car, right? Just a year. You're probably not gonna make it anyway, but just give you a year.
We'll let you bring your gold toilet with you.
Yeah, you can bring a gold toilet. Get it professionally installed. I would be like, that's cool, but I don't want just this information that you have on this one. I want all of it. And not only do I want all of it, I want everything from 2016 too. I would try to destroy his fucking image. Everything. Because let's get real. There is 100% shit in that 2016 election that is shady as fuck. We all know it's shady as fuck. Anybody who actually paid attention, right? Oh, Democrats are making it up. You guys were sharing campaign data with the Russians. Why? Yeah.
Well, when you plead guilty with the federal government, that is part of the deal. Not only do you have to admit to what you did in this situation, you have to tell them everything you've done ever, because what they don't want is to be surprised by anything else that you've done in the past coming up to play. And usually, like, that, all of that past stuff is wrapped up in that current plea deal. It's like, it kind of wipes your slate clean in a lot of ways, but it makes it so that they don't have to be surprised later on about shit that you've done. And it helps them build other cases.
And by the way, if you lie about those things,
right,
you lose it.
They will come after your ass.
Yeah, they'll lose it. So I would be like, I want it all. And then I would use that information once I had it all. I'd be like, listen, look, you didn't say we'll do a suspended sentence. Then I would use that information and I'd be like, Donald Trump said this shit. Here's the tape of him saying it, right? It's all in fucking HD, all that shit. And then I would use it to destroy his career. All that, like, he won the 2020 election or whatever, like it's all rigged. One, all of that would be destroyed, right? Here's the words out of him saying this shit, right? Of course, his most ardent followers are going to be like, they're just making him say that, whatever, right? But then I would do that. I would use that to backtrack into 2016 and be like, not only did this motherfucker not win 2020, probably didn't really win 2016 on the up and up either, right?
Yeah.
So,
oh, I think any deal they cut with him
historically, I would destroy him with it.
Any deal they cut with him, I think him not being able to run for public office would be part of the
100%. 100%. Like that's a minimum. That's a minimum. Like yeah, you're done. Right, because even if he loses this time, right, which I think he will, even if he loses this time, if he's still alive in 4 years, he will threaten to run again. He will, just for retribution. He will threaten to run again, which is crazy because he'll be like 1.5 million years old. But like MAGA people who would shit on Joe Biden about being too old would still vote for him in 4 years.
God, imagine how fucking dementia-laden Donald Trump is going to be in 4 years. Yeah.
Oh my God, just Swiss cheese for a brain. Like it would. I mean, it's already pretty bad. So,
What did he say this week? He said this week. He talked about how Viktor Orban was the president of Turkey. Like that was fun. Like he saw that. Like, oh, Viktor Orban, he's great president of Turkey.
Nope, wrong. My best friend. Dum-dum. Yeah, your best friend. No, that's another autocrat. I'm sorry, that's Erdogan. but like, even that one, I'm not like super mad because like I don't expect Trump to understand like geography and shit. But him saying like, hey, he basically is the only one who realized that U.S. is also
US. I wish you had that clip. I know you have a different clip later on, but I wish you had that one. I also like. It makes me mad that he got that wrong because I would have loved to see him try to say Erdogan with his current like mental faculty right now.
Can you fucking imagine? Can you imagine that big dummy? So yeah, it's like it's profound how little he understands. It is legitimately profound how little he understands. Yeah. But yeah, all right. Best of luck. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. Come back, and we're going to talk a little bit more about a pretty interesting topic about U.S. abortion rights or rates. Excuse me. All right, we'll be back. Okay, U.S. abortion rates rise post Roe amid deep divide in state by state access. All right, so this is kind of interesting. I'm going to throw this image up for folks. You can look at the article if you're not watching the video, but if you're watching video, you can see this. This is really, really interesting, right? Which is showing all of these states and sort of orange arrow down are all the states that banned abortion, like, you know, 6 weeks or total abortion bans or whatever, right? And this is after Roe v. Wade got knocked down by the SCOTUS. Purple going up are the increase. You know, it's a year over year comparison, right? What's wild is like Texas had the largest decrease of 36,970 abortions over the course of this time. Georgia had almost 20,000 less abortions. Tennessee had almost 14,000. Louisiana had 9,000, right? And you know, there's not some direct numbers to the other ones, but they're all like, you know, much lower than that, but still decreases. Mm-hmm. The big ones to note, California had an increase of 8,810 abortions, an increase. Florida had 20,460 abortions, a significant increase. Illinois had 21,500. North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, New Jersey, they all had increases. So all of the states where abortion rights were still secured after the Roe v. Wade situation saw, you know, moderate to significant increases in abortions, right? Here's the thing. You can look at this map and say, well, what Republicans are trying to accomplish, they accomplish, right? It is to knock down the abortion rates. And look how terrible the blue states are. They're just doing all these abortions. But when you look at the map, it's because people are clearly fleeing all of these red states and going to the blue states and getting abortions, right? California has an increase of 8,000. I'd almost guarantee you the decrease that Arizona has is probably pretty close to the increase California has because of the proximity.
Yeah, and I'm looking at fucking like Illinois looking like fucking Sauron's tower. Meanwhile, like all like just surrounded by like these fucking orange downward cones. Yeah. Like it's no question where, you know, where a lot of those are going. And it's interesting too because like I look at Kansas, I look at New Mexico, especially like they're getting a lot of people, I'm sure, funneling in from Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas. And those states probably don't have like the infrastructure to handle
exactly
that influx. Like I'm surprised that they're able to cope with it. Like California increasing by a lot, not a big deal. Florida also probably not a big deal. And I think Florida is interesting too, because I think not only are they obviously picking up folks from Georgia and Alabama that are fleeing, but also like I think I'd be curious to see how much of this was between April and June of this year, because that's the survey runs through June, because the April's when DeSantis and signed into law the 6-week ban in Florida that's been challenged in court, so that's not in place yet. But I'd be curious to know, because I think the other thing you do is when you kind of threaten people and you have this sword hanging over folks' head, it kind of makes the decision faster, right? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, people are like, oh, I better do this now before I can anymore.
Yeah. Look, so what it tells me is this did nothing. That abortion ban did absolutely nothing to stop abortions. If anything, it increased them, right? Mm-hmm. Like states that still allow procedures performed 116,790 more abortions than expected. So you didn't fix anything. You made it worse. You just made people travel.
Yep.
I'm against abortions. No, you're against abortions in the same state that you live in. Like, you haven't stopped anything. Now, Republicans would make the argument, that's why we need to have a national ban. And I would make the argument is, mind your fucking business.
Yeah. But also, like, you look at this and say, oh, it didn't work. I look at this and I say, this is step one. Because, again, we've seen a lot of Republicans making noise about how not only did they want to ban it in their state, but they also wanted to go after individuals who actually traveled to one of these other states.
Yes, of course.
And got an abortion in another state, or prosecute anyone who helped facilitate that happening. Going as far, like you remember the story a few months ago, where Idaho legislators wanted to pass a law that they could prosecute doctors in Washington for performing abortions on Idaho citizens, which is fucking insane. Like, Washington is not a foreign fucking country,
right?
And even if they, and even if it wasn't, you know what I mean?
You don't have the right to do that, right? You can't prosecute people for that. Again, the Republican Party saying that they're the party of small government is insane. Not only do we believe in states' rights, we also believe in our states' rights across to other states.
Yes, like, you as the state must respect our rights and also help us enforce our laws that you don't agree with. That's how important our rights, our state's rights are.
Like, cool. Can we do that with guns? No? Weird.
I mean, you don't have to go any further than that. Like that's the other one you have to point to.
Right. Like, you guys don't, but Republicans still are like, we're trying to challenge the fact that New York won't allow you to have guns. They're like, well, no, but they should have to have them. Like, no. But what about our state?
That's what I say in Illinois. Cool. Like, you don't want us to perform abortion. You can't sell guns to our citizens. Like, if our citizens come across to your state to buy a gun, you can't do it. And they're like, no, like you can't stop commerce from happening. Come on. That's the Constitution. You know,
last time I checked, abortions not free, still commerce. Right. So it's, you know, if you're willing to do a fair, if you're willing to do a fair market trade, let's have a conversation. You're not shocking news. This is dumb. Why are we talking about this? Like, it's just horseshit. So, yeah, it doesn't do anything but increase the amount of wear and tear on facilities and everything else in those blue states. But you're right. It is, you know, this is step one for them. Look, I don't ever think they're going to get to a point where they, like, the threat of a national ban is the only thing they can do right now to help gin up red meat for their constituents and simultaneously really piss off liberals, right? If you got a national ban done, you'd never win another election in this country. Like, you just wouldn't. People would be like, oh, really? A national ban? That's cool. Yeah, guess what's happening right now? They would keep kicking you until they kicked you all out of office, got people on the Supreme Court. They would pass a full-on, fuck you, it's legal everywhere, rock-solid fucking thing. They'd make sure they had everyone in the Supreme Court on that bench being as liberal as humanly possible, and you would never win anything again. The last thing Republicans want to do is catch that fucking car. Like, that. Yep. Like, no, they're going to do – they're already – pissed that they caught it the first time and they had to do it, and they were like, ooh, that was not a good idea.
Well, they're already seeing the repercussions. I mean, fucking Ohio's about to encode it, like, enshrine it in their constitution.
Okay.
Good job, dummies. Yeah, Ohio's one of the biggest orange arrows on that map. Guess what? We're about to get it back to normal again, guys.
Yeah. Like, if you think that people forgot about abortion, they fucking didn't. Women are not going to forget about their bodily autonomy. It's just not – this isn't like foreign policy. People give a fuck about this one. Like, they pay attention to this one. Like, they're not going to forget about it. And the idea that, like, 50% of the population is like, it's probably not that big of a deal anymore. No, it's a really big deal to 50% of the population. It's a really big deal. And it's a really big deal whether they agree with it or not. Like, whether they agree with it, whether they're pro-choice or anti-choice, whether they are pro-choice for themselves or not, because that's a different conversation, right? Like, some people are just like, oh, like, I don't want to do that for myself, but I feel very adamantly that people have the right to do that, right? Like, that's a different conversation. And women are not going to forget this. I don't know why Republicans think that they will. They will not. So, yeah, you fucked up and caught that car, man. You should have been like, when it released that you were thinking about knocking down Roe v. Wade, you should have paid attention to the reaction, but like, we should probably not do this. Like, but they couldn't help themselves. So.
Well, I mean, and I don't think they could have stopped it if they wanted to, because again, they had been beating that drum for 50 years, literally. Like they had created a groundswell. That at that point was too loud to ignore. They couldn't just all of a sudden be like, put the brace, like, hey, good fight, guys. 50 years. Really appreciate it. Thanks for coming out. We're good in the whole abortion thing, actually. We didn't really want to get rid of it. We just wanted to have something to yell about. But thanks a lot. And hey, maybe we can go back to yelling about Obamacare.
why are they lighting torches? This is weird. They needed it as a cudgel. And instead, they use it as a direct weapon, and they fucked up. Yeah, they stabbed at the heart of a population that it will not forget, and they're gonna pay for it. They pay for it once; they're gonna pay for it again, because they can't stop talking about it either. Like, that's the thing. They're like, did you see all these abortions getting stopped? Okay, I'd shut the fuck up if I were you. And they can't help themselves. They can't. Good. Keep talking about it. I'm gonna keep talking about it. Like, I'm not gonna let you forget either. Like, fuck that. So. But this is, I thought that was kind of a wild chart. So
yeah.
Congrats, I guess. this is a wild, video. Donald Trump is just saying whatever, just saying some wild shit out of his mouth, man. Like, what are we doing, bro? What are we doing? He's on the campaign trail, I guess, or taking time off from court. really, if we're being honest.
I mean, is he charged in New Hampshire? He might have just been in town to have to sit through a hearing. I don't know.
Yeah, like you never know. Like there's so many. But so he's in New Hampshire and he's like, he just says this. Very weird.
So we have to be careful. You got to get out there and you got to watch those voters. You don't have to vote. Don't worry about voting. The voting, we got plenty of votes. You got to watch.
Don't worry about voting. I'm sorry, what?
I never thought I'd say this. I agree with Donald Trump. Yeah, Republicans, don't worry about voting.
I feel like this feels like when he was like, hey, don't worry about voting in Georgia. Like, don't worry about it, guys. Like, don't even worry about it. Like, it's rigged. It's rigged. Why would you even – it's rigged. And people were like, yeah, you're right. And then they lost two Senate seats. Oops.
I mean, I hope what I hope he doesn't do is continue that second part of that message where he talks about, like, you got to watch these polling places. Like, I don't need even more fucking crazy poll watchers intimidating people and intimidating poll workers.
No, I don't need that.
In these carriers.
Look, I think he makes a very, very poor calculation that he can say things like, don't worry about voting. Just watch these people. Don't worry about voting. Don't worry about voting. You have a lot of really dumb fucking supporters, man.
Yeah.
He just will be like, all right, he said don't worry about voting. He got this shit locked up. Like, fundamentally, he doesn't give a fuck about voting. He doesn't care. You know how I know? Because January 6th, he doesn't give a fuck about voting. When you go out there and you – like, this is the problem with something that he did – over and over again and continues to do, which is you keep going out there and saying that the system of voting is rigged. If people think that it's rigged, one of two things will happen. They will either not vote because they think that they're wasting their own time, and or they will get violent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for him, he doesn't care if they get violent. That's kind of his MO, right? But if those people don't get violent – and they don't vote, you lose. So your only hope is that people get violent, which, you know, January 6th was a big deal, but it wasn't millions of people. It wasn't hundreds of thousands of people.
My fear is that you're going to see a lot of uprisings at polling places on Election Day. Which is, again, why I would hope that more states will just continue to expand the use of mail-in voting. To have as few people there as possible. That's my worry is that certain of his crazier followers are going to target very specific polling places, and I'm afraid that we're going to see one or more instances next election day. That's one thing that I am concerned about. So
yeah, look, it's that level of like potential fighting or that potential violence on those voting days is not good.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, like, just vote. Like, if you agree with Donald Trump, then go vote for Donald Trump. Like, you don't need to fuck with anybody else. Just go vote for Donald Trump. If you agree with Joe Biden, then go vote for Joe Biden. Like, you don't have to get physical with anybody. I wouldn't recommend you walking over to a polling place trying to call some people out in certain neighborhoods, though. Wouldn't recommend
that.
Like, wouldn't recommend it. Like, yeah, you can go to Detroit if you want to. You might get your teeth knocked down. Like
yeah.
I wouldn't recommend it. So, look, just go vote. You don't have to get in other people's faces. You don't have to try to say, oh, people are cheating and everything else. Just go vote. Your guy got his ass kicked the last time. Probably going to get his ass kicked even worse this time, if I'm being honest. But –
That wasn't the only like crazy shit that he said, by the way, in this stump speech. There's a couple things called out in this article that we have here.
The Nelson Mandela part?
Yeah, compared himself to Nelson Mandela, which feels gross.
Many people have.
Said, yeah, like, I'm sure. Yeah,
a spitting image of Nelson Mandela. Like, wait, what?
He also referred to Letitia James as Peekaboo James, which isn't racist, but it sounds racist.
Peekaboo James.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Doesn't it sound like a little past the pale there?
Yeah, it. Look, I can say this. You can't say this. It sounds like he wanted to say Jigaboo James, and I don't think that's cool, right? Like, so he said Peekaboo, and I'm like, look, I hate to say
that. I know Terrence has said that is an objectively funny word, but I'm not laughing. I just want to call it. I just point that out on the show.
It is objective.
I just want to point that out of the show right here.
Yeah, no, I think he wanted to say Jigaboo James, but I think he was like, oh, Peekaboo James, and everyone's like, what? Like, what does that mean? Like, he's like, you know what it means. Like, old school racist, you know what it means. Look, it's a funny word. Don't call a black person that unless you want to get fucked up. But, like, it's a funny word. Like, it just does. I wish white people didn't use that against us, because I think everyone should be able to call everyone that word. I just think it's a fucking hilarious. It's just a funny word. See, racism ruins everything.
Does. You're right. Yeah.
Peekaboo James doesn't make any sense. Like, no. I don't think that's what you wanted to say, dude. See, if I was in the crowd, I'd be like, say the real word. Say it. I dare you. Like,
He also said that Americans are like dessert. Like, he's going to build America an Iron Dome missile defense system, as if we just have fucking ICBMs nothing. Just flying over the country like every day.
Like you think?
Also, we have missile defense systems already in America.
You think we help fund and build the Iron Dome, and like we're firing rocks with a slingshot? Like, what are you talking about? Like, you know why you don't know what we have? Because we've never had to use it.
Yeah, we never had to use it.
Yeah, you have no fucking clue. If the Iron Dome is what Israel has, I guarantee you what we have is far scarier. Far scarier.
Yeah, turns out kind of being on a continent with the nicest people in the world to the north, and you know, people that are, you know, content to leave you alone to the south, pretty good at making sure that people don't fuck with you. Who would have thought?
Yeah, like, we're not worried about Mexico invading the U.S. We're not worried about Canada sharpening their ice skates at night and coming over quietly. Like, these are not concerns we have. Like, no, get the fuck out of here. And they're like, yeah, man, thanks for all that international protection. Like, that's Mexico and Canada saying, like, cool, nobody's fucking with us.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, like, the idea of, like, I'm going to build an Iron Dome. Like, you're just saying shit. Like, you're just saying shit. Capable of blasting Chinese, Russian, and Iranian missiles out of the sky. Dude, I guarantee you we already have that. Like, I guarantee you we already have that. Americans deserve an Iron Dome, and that's what we're going to have. Oh, okay. Yeah, let's just fucking silly. Like, this guy spent 4 years in the White House. He has no fucking clue militarily.
when his daily briefs were delivered like five lines on a piece of paper with pictures, like, what the fuck do you expect him to know?
Yeah,
he's not interested in these things.
No, he's
someone brought up in the point. Someone brought up in the Discord, and you posted the Ted Lasso meme, and it's a great fucking meme, because it's true. People should be more curious about things. And one of the things that makes Donald Trump a really bad leader, among many things, is the fact that he has no curiosity about anything. He just assumes that he knows everything.
He's literally the opposite of that meme. Not curious, judgmental. Like extremely judgmental, right? Like, he's just incapable intellectually of learning new things, because he is fundamentally not curious. Like, that's why Barack Obama, like, I will never, ever forgive Republicans who literally went on television or wrote on the internet that Barack Obama was stupid. I'm like, you can't possibly believe that. Like, I get it. You're a racist, right? Like, I get it. So you can't fathom a black man being intelligent, but like, no one honestly believes that Barack Obama's not intelligent. He may not know everything about every topic. He may get things wrong, but no one intellectually goes, yeah, that guy doesn't seem that smart. Like, no, that guy seems incredibly smart, like incredibly capable and incredibly curious, which is why he understood things and learned a lot. So but that's the job of the presidency. You're not supposed to come in knowing everything. The job is like, you have to know some things and have some good judgment and somewhat good experience, right? And be able to surround yourself with people who have sometimes better judgment and better experience, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times much more experience than you. But you also have to be intellectually curious, right? Trump is not. So, yeah, it's sad. But, you know, should we be surprised? No. Like, all right. That is it for us. Any other parting words there, Brad?
Not at all. Will we have a speaker by the time we reconvene next Tuesday? That's the question that needs to be answered.
No.
No?
No, I don't think so.
I can't see it either. Like, just because I can, like, there's not a person that's currently in the pool that's running that I can see, like, just banding the party together. If that person even exists anywhere.
I mean, it's Trump, right? Trump is the greatest.
No, he wouldn't either.
No,
the moderates wouldn't vote for him.
And that, by the way, the fact that Jim Jordan didn't win and kept mm-hmm. losing votes tells me you were 100% right. There's your dude I told you. He doesn't have – Donald Trump doesn't have the votes to become Speaker of the House.
No.
He doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. That's why you guys should totally bring it to the floor. You should 100% bring it to the floor. I think it'd be wonderful. It'd be a great time had by us. Like, absolutely. All right. That's it for us. We will see you guys next week.